So we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're just going to read verse 1 to 7. So the first seven verses in Ecclesiastes 5. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake." Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. So we're going to stop the reading just there. And let's pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word together. Father, we thank you that we can read your word. We thank you that we have it in our language that we can understand. But yet we recognize there's something special and unique about your word that is different to other books that we read. That as we read these words, Lord, that there is a profound and eternal impact that they can have on our lives. That they are relevant for us today, even though they've been written so long ago. And we pray that your Spirit would be working to press these things into our hearts, into our minds, so that we would realize what it is you're saying to us. We thank you for the privilege it is that we can hear your word, and we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. How careful are you? Are you a careful person? Do you try to think about the things that you're doing before you do them? Or do you just rush in and get on with whatever it is? And you'll think about the consequences afterwards. Well, there will be certain situations in life where we will naturally be careful. Because we have to be. Whenever we go to visit Grace's mum and dad, I need to be very careful navigating their driveway. It's on a steep upward hill that then bends to the left while still going up a hill. So you're blind going round this corner. So you have to be very careful. And even though I've done it 1,000 times, each time I'm wondering, am I going to hit the curb this time? We have to be careful. In certain situations in work with Amazon, I need to be very careful with the words that I use when responding to customers, whether it's a complaint, whether someone's product has stopped working, whether there's been damage caused in their house. We need to be very careful with the words that we respond to people, which might even have legal implications. Or maybe at this time of year when it's icy, we need to be really careful when we're walking along footpaths. We need to have our footing sure, or we're on the roads and it's icy. We need to be extra careful because of the conditions. So if there are certain situations in life where we need to be careful, we're thinking this morning about being careful in how we worship God together. Careful when we come together like this. On a Sunday morning, are you someone who is naturally careful when it comes to worshiping God? So careful. Listen to God's voice. As the saying goes, it is better to remain silent at the risk of being thought a fool than to talk and remove all doubt of it. As we think about how we need to be careful in our worship of God, The first thing that we need to be careful about is that we're listening to God's voice. The teacher in Ecclesiastes is now exhorting the people of God. He's telling the people of God that when they go to the temple, that they're to go to listen rather than offer the sacrifice of fools. Look at verse 1. He says, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong." These fools who carelessly come before God to go through the motions again. It's all words. It's all talk. There's no substance. And they don't even know that they're doing wrong. Maybe these worshippers came away from the temple thinking, "Well, that was a great service. I offered 3 sacrifices. I had only planned on 1, but I saw everyone else offering more sacrifices, so I thought, well, why not?" Instead of offering up many prayers or many sacrifices or many songs to God, God's people are to be careful to listen to his voice. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, "Do not be quick with your mouth, do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool." We get this picture of someone who's not coming to speak, but to listen to God's voice as he speaks. We need to have a humble attitude as we come together to worship, recognizing who we are and who God is, hungry to hear his voice. And as we hear him speak, we must listen. This doesn't mean that the sound waves just go into our ears. It means that the message goes into our hearts. True listening to God leads to lives that are changed. You never listen. Is that something you hear sometimes? I'm sure you've heard the request or the plea 100 times, but you only really begin to listen when you take it to heart. We're all guilty of this kind of listening, aren't we? Maybe you've had that experience with kids. Don't run when your laces are untied. The sound waves of what you've said may have gone into their ears, but they didn't listen as they come back crying, having fallen and hurt their knee again. So first, we need to be in a place where we can discern God's voice. As we hear his word and as his spirit works, we need to be careful to listen to him. We need to give space that as we hear his word, we've been given the Bible, so that as God speaks, we need to be ready to listen. Not drown out his voice with our constant praying or singing or speaking or chatting or busyness. We need somehow to give space to be careful to listen. We need time to reflect. Time, maybe together, maybe personally. There's this phrase I came across, deliberate inactivity, as one writer put it. I don't know about you, but I'm not good at this. I'm very good at deliberate activity. I do lots of that. But time taken to be still, to think and reflect on things that we've heard from God's word. To think, well, what is God saying to me through the things that I've heard this morning in church? Or as I've read my Bible? Or as we did our Bible study during the week? We need to be careful to listen to God's voice. Are you mindless in how you approach God? Do you have many words for him, but little thought? As we come together like this on Sundays, are we happy for our minds to wander when others are praying, but yet we still say Amen? You thought we'd be finished 10 minutes sooner, so during the last song you're more concerned with your watch than the words on the screen. When we give to the work of the church, do you thoughtlessly find whatever's in your pocket, and that will do? Or are we conscious that we want to give to God and decide how we do that? The point is that we need to be thoughtful as we approach our worship of God, not coming to offer the sacrifice of fools who don't even know what they're doing wrong, but instead coming to listen to God's voice. It's helpful to be thoughtful. So even for 30 seconds right now, let's take a moment and think, are we mindless as we approach God? Ask God to show you and to help you. So we must be careful to listen to God's voice. Careful. Be sincere. Vows were something that were common in temple worship. Vows that were made as promises to God, maybe a promise of allegiance, a promise of loyalty, maybe a free will offering to God, maybe the dedication even of a child, like in Hannah's case that we see in the Old Testament. Let's read verses 4 to 6 again. It says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, 'My vow was a mistake.' Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands?" If a vow was made, the people were not to delay. Don't delay if you've made a vow. In fact, it's better not to make a vow than not to fulfill it. Better the words were never said than just to be empty. Empty words are common in our experience today, aren't they? Maybe especially in Ireland, maybe not. But people can be quick to say what they think you want to hear. We've maybe experienced some of this, and it's very normal in the lead up to elections. We hear promises and sound bites that the people want to hear, but then things don't turn out quite as promised. The health crisis doesn't get fixed. Housing is still an issue. And homelessness doesn't go away. Maybe you've experienced this kind of empty words personally with someone. Maybe you've invited them to an event or a church event. "Steve, would you be interested in coming along to a carol service that our church is organizing?" "Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, that sounds really good. Thanks very much." But then no sign of Steve on the night. People say what they think you want to hear. But what about empty words in church? We sing songs together every week. We pray together. We say Amen together. We listen together. We nod along together. We've even sung songs today. Are they empty words, or are they commitments to God? Made from our hearts. We're definitely not perfect, and we will definitely not get everything right, but God looks on our hearts as we worship Him together. We need to be people who follow through on commitments we make to him, or we'd be better off not singing, better off not saying amen. We need to follow through on that commitment made to God. We need to let these things that we experience together like this shape the rest of our week, shape the rest of our lives. We don't want to be Christian schizophrenics, praising and praying and committing to live for God each Sunday, but then by Thursday lunchtime we're retelling that dodgy joke, or we're cutting corners at work. We're judging others for not meeting my standards. Or we're planning another alcohol-filled night on the town with friends. Well, if that's the lives that we live, we might as well keep our mouths shut on Sundays. Because we need to be careful to follow through on our commitment to God. We need to be sincere before him, following through on the things that we sing and the things that we say and pray together. Maybe when we commit to serve in a particular way with our church, we need to follow through on that. Committing to serve God in church is a brilliant thing, and we need to follow it through. Not thoughtlessly committing to things and then not being able to follow through, or having signed up just giving up because it's too much bother. We need to follow through and be careful to be sincere in our commitment and worship of God. God is not to be taken lightly because he takes these things seriously. We see how he responds. It says, "Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands?" It may seem or sound strange. God hates hypocrites. He hates it when people say one thing, but their private lives practice and show something completely different. This sort of hypocrisy is different to getting things wrong, to making mistakes, because we all recognize that we do that. But we are hypocrites, and we are spouting empty words when we put on a show on Sunday with no intention of changing what we do for the rest of the week. So careful. Be sincere. This passage finishes with a simple but very weighty command. And it fuels our careful listening to God's voice and our sincere response to him, that we would be careful to fear God. Look at verse 7. "Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God." We heard of the many words earlier in the passage, the words that mark the speech of a fool. And we heard about these many dreams because of many cares. This is our conclusion, that we would fear God. Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. That sounds a bit more like Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? But what's the conclusion? Fear God. We are to fear God. God is a loving and kind God, and he is a holy and righteous God. It's not a joke to come before him. We come as loved children, but before the most awesome and powerful being in existence. This will help us to be careful when we approach him, not with a half-hearted attitude or a careless or casual attitude. This is the answer to our careless or thoughtless worship of God. We need to fear him. As we recognize how great and how powerful and holy he is, it will change how we relate to him. My dad tells a story from years ago when he was on a flight. He was sitting beside a woman and she was reading a running magazine, and my dad, who likes a good conversation, took this as his starting point and asked casually, "Do you like running?" It was only later in the flight that he realized he was sitting beside Sonia O'Sullivan. When we begin to realize who it is we're approaching, we're going to change how we are going to relate to them. When we begin to realize who it is we've come to worship, we'll quickly abandon our careless words and our casual attitudes. As we begin to truly see who God is, and as we come to a right fear of him, we'll be drawn towards him, not driven away from him. It's a fear that drives us to love God and obey him, not to be terrified of him or paralyzed because of him. Have you ever been burnt by fire? It's pretty sore. But yet, do you keep lighting fires all through the winter? Because we have a healthy fear of fire. We're drawn to its warmth, its beauty, but yet we're very aware of the danger it possesses. When it's not handled carefully, it can cause terrible destruction. Perrin's in the process of developing his fear. He's getting good at telling us that the fire is hot, but we still need to watch him in case he forgets that the fire isn't just nice and it looks beautiful. It's actually very dangerous. Well, in a similar way, we need to have a healthy fear of God. Knowing his awesome power and holiness will help us respond rightly to him, to respond in loving obedience as we're drawn to his warmth and to his beauty. We must be careful to fear God. We must be careful to respond to God in the right way. That's what fearing him is like. It's responding in the right way. Responding to how he's revealed himself and responding to what he's called us to do. And we see these commands of fearing God and fearing the Lord throughout the Old Testament, but they don't seem to make as much of a visible appearance in the New Testament. But if we're thinking about fearing God as responding rightly to him, how can we do that since we live after the New Testament? How do we respond rightly to God? Well, we respond rightly to God through trusting his Son Jesus. The way that we ultimately fear God is through faith in Jesus, in how God has revealed himself in his Son and what he has called us to do. The right response, fearing God, means trusting Jesus. And it's Jesus who's made a way. And made a way on the cross that we could approach God, that we can come to him and be made right with him. It's Jesus who made the perfect sacrifice so that our foolish sacrifices will be dealt with. It's Jesus we need to listen to and to follow. And it's Jesus who will transform us into these worshipers that God wants us to be. By his Spirit, he's working in us to make us these people who listen, who are sincere, and who fear God in our worship of him. He's transforming us to be worshipers like Jesus is. So just like we're careful in lots of situations in life, from awkward driveways to icy roads, we need to be careful how we worship. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize that as we come before you, we come before an awesome and mighty God. And Father, we seek your forgiveness when we come in times of thoughtlessness, of carelessness, and having casual attitudes before you. Lord, give us a greater sense of who you are. And Lord, as we see your majesty and your glory, it overwhelms us to think that you love us so much, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us, to rescue us. So Lord, as we come together in times like this as your people, please help us to be careful. Help us to be conscious and thoughtful that as we approach you, in times of corporate worship, that we would be mindful of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, let that extend then into our lives, that as we relate to you day by day, hour by hour, we'd be conscious of who you are, and that you'd be changing the way that we live as a result. So we thank you, Father. Please help us in this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.